It really makes you think, doesn't it? I mean, not that long ago, Sirius AI felt like something only huge institutions could tackle.
Absolutely.
And now these large language models are just swallowing gigabytes, hundreds of gigabytes of memory. Maybe you've even felt your own machine, groan trying to keep up.
Yeah, the memory demands are just escalating like crazy. They're creating a real bottleneck for a lot of people wanting to experiment.
Exactly. And that's what we're really digging into today. We're looking at this fascinating idea, clustering Mac studios to handle these massive LLMs.
It's a different approach for sure.
Because think about the usual way, right? Those super high-end NVIDIA GPUs, like the H100s or, that rumored RTX 5090 beast, the cost is just enormous and the power they suck down.
It's substantial, a huge barrier for entry.
And even if you can get one, you're often looking at memory limits, what, like 32 gigs maybe on a consumer card?
Yeah, around there typically. Maybe a bit more on the absolute top end, but it's still pretty constrained when you look at these new models.
These open source models are getting gigantic. Llama, what, 405 billion parameters? DeepSeek R1 pushing almost 671 billion.
It's unbelievable. And the basic principle still holds. Generally, more parameters mean better performance. I mean, compare a theoretical 1 billion parameter model, which might not make much sense, to a 671 billion one. The difference in capability is just huge.
Totally. So this is where the Mac Studio kind of comes into the conversation. It can go up to 512 gigabytes of unified memory.
That unified memory is key.
Where the CPU and GPU share the same fast memory pool. Super efficient for AI tasks.
Right.
It suddenly looks like a more, well, accessible option. Still not cheap, mind you, maybe $10,000 or so for that top spec.
Accessible is relative, yeah, but compared to some alternatives.
Definitely. And we've got some really interesting sources for this. Articles looking specifically at clustering these Macs for LLMs, talking about frameworks like EXO and MLX distributed.
Right, so our mission here for this deep dive is pretty clear. We need to figure out if clustering Macs actually works for these huge models, and maybe more importantly, how it works. Can it really get around those memory limits?
What are the real-world implications? We want to pull out the key insights for you, our listener, give you a solid grasp of what's possible right now.
Okay, let's start with MLX Distributed then.
Sounds good. So MLX Distributed, this is Apple's own thing, right? Built specifically for Apple Silicon.
Exactly. Think of it like analogous to NVIDIA's CDA, but optimized purely for Macs.
Which suggests, maybe better performance right out of the gate.
That's the potential, yeah. And the data we've seen seems to back that up. There were tests using a model called DeepCoder V2 Lite Instruct, and running it with MLX was noticeably faster than the GGUF version in LM Studio. We're talking like 163 to 168 tokens per second with MLX versus maybe 113 to 115 with GGUF.
That's a pretty significant speed up. That optimization pays off.
It definitely seems to.
And MLX distributed is the part that lets you spread that workload across multiple Macs, pool their resources.
Precisely. If one Mac doesn't have enough memory, you connect several together. But getting it running isn't just plug and play. There are some setup hoops to jump through.
Okay, what's involved? If someone listening wanted to try this, what do they need to do?
First off, you need SSH enabled on all the Macs, and you'll want passwordless logins set up between them. Makes communication seamless.
Right, so they can talk to each other without constant prompting.
Exactly. Then you absolutely need an identical Conda environment on every single machine in the cluster.
Identical. How do you ensure that?
Well, the easiest way is probably to set it up perfectly on one Mac, get all your libraries right, and then just copy that entire environment folder over to the other Macs.
Just clone the environment. Smart. Keeps everything consistent. What else?
You also need to configure your hosts properly. There's a file, usually hosts.json, where you list the network names of all the machines in a cluster, like AMSAs 1, A2, A3, A4, whatever you've named them.
So the system knows who's part of the team.
Pretty much. And finally, you need a solid network connection between them. Two main choices here, Ethernet or Thunderbolt Bridge.
Okay, Ethernet's the familiar one. What's recommended there?
The recommendation is usually a 10 gigabit switch that gives you speeds around, say, 9.4 gigabits per second. It's generally easier to set up, more flexible for connecting machines, pretty stable too.
And the alternative, Thunderbolt Bridge.
Yeah, Thunderbolt can be way faster, potentially up to around 65 gigabits per second. But it usually needs a specific setup, kind of like a hub and spoke with one Mac in the middle. And you often end up manually configuring IP addresses. So a bit more fiddly.
Right, faster, but potentially more complex. But here's something interesting from the sources. They suggested network speed isn't actually the most critical thing for MLX Distributed. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a key point. With MLX Distributed, the idea is the full model is actually stored locally on each Mac in the cluster.
Ah.
So you're not constantly sending huge chunks of the model back and forth over the network during inference when it's generating output. Hmm. The network is mostly just for coordinating the calculations.
Got it. So the heavy lifting, the model data itself, stays put. Interesting. Okay, so setup done.
Mm-hmm.
What about actual performance? Did they see big gains or maybe some surprises when running models on these clusters? Let's start small.
Okay, yeah. Testing with that DeepSeekoder V2 light instruct model, it threw up some counterintuitive results.
Oh.
A single machine got around 173 tokens per second. Pretty good. But at a second machine, performance actually dropped to about 107 tokens per second.
Wait, dropped?
Yeah. And with four machines, it went down even further to around 79 tokens per second.
You add more computers, more processing power, and it gets slower. That doesn't feel right.
It seems backward, doesn't it?
Hmm.
But that's a crucial takeaway for you listening. Just adding more Macs doesn't automatically mean faster results with MLX Distributed, especially for smaller models.
Why not? What's the bottleneck?
It's that communication overhead. Coordinating the work across multiple machines takes time and resources. It can actually outweigh the benefit of the extra compute power if the model isn't big enough to really need it. Plus, the GPUs on each machine might not be running at 100% utilization all the time.
Okay, so there's a cost distribution. That makes sense. So what happens when you throw a really huge model at it, like that DeepSeek R1?
Yeah.
671 billion parameters. That's about 420 gigs, even when quantized to 4-bit, right?
Exactly. And this is where the memory pooling aspect really shines, where, well, becomes necessary.
How so?
On a single Mac Studio with 128 gigs of unified memory trying to load that DeepSeek model, it just failed. Ran out of memory around the 120 gig mark.
Okay, so too big for one. What about two?
They tried two machines, giving them a total of 256 gigs. Still not enough. Failed again.
Wow.
But when they scaled up to four machines, giving a combined 512 gigs of memory, finally it worked. It ran.
Success. At what speed?
It ran at about 15 tokens per second. Not blazing fast, but it ran, which it couldn't do on fewer machines. So that demonstrates the core value proposition here, combining memory.
Right. It enables running models that are otherwise impossible on a single machine.
Okay, so how does that four-machine cluster compare speed-wise to just getting one really beefy Mac Studio, like an M3 Ultra with the full 512 gigs?
That's a great comparison point, and the results were interesting. With the smaller DeepSeekoder model, the four-machine M4 Max cluster was actually a bit faster, 166 tokens per second versus 146 for the single M3 Ultra.
Huh, surprising.
Yeah, but then they tested a medium model, Llama 3.370B. There, the single M3 Ultra was faster. 13.27 token sec compared to the cluster's 10 token sec.
On the universal.
And then with the big one, the DeepSeek R1 4-bit, the single M3 Ultra was faster again. 19 token sec versus the cluster's 15 token sec.
Interesting. So it looks like if the model can fit into the memory of a single high-end machine, even a very large one, that single machine might actually be faster. That seems to be the case based on these tests. The tighter integration and higher memory bandwidth within that single M3 Ultra probably gives it an edge, as long as the model fits.
But what about power? That's always a factor. How did they stack up there?
Ah, good question. The single M3 Ultra running that big DeepSeek model pulled around 251 watts.
Okay.
The four machine M4 Max cluster doing the same task, it used only about 150 watts total.
Wow, significantly less power for the cluster, even though it was a bit slower on that large model.
Exactly, so you've got this trade-off. The single machine might be faster if the model fits, but the cluster could be more power efficient overall.
Fascinating. Okay, so MLX Distributed works especially for memory pooling, but prefers identical machines and has performance nuances. What about dealing with really complex scenarios, like clustering machines with different amounts of memory, say, trying to run something even bigger, like that DeepSeek V3 needing maybe 750 gigs? That won't fit even on the 512 GB M3 Ultra.
Right, that's the next level of challenge. You theoretically want to combine maybe a big 512 GB M3 Ultra with a few smaller 128 GB M4 Maxes.
Makes sense. Pool all available resources.
But the standard MLX distributed setup using MPI, that's the underlying communication system, it doesn't automatically know how to handle that unevenness well. It doesn't look at your host.json list and say, oh, this machine has way more RAM. Let's give it the biggest chunk of the model.
So it just tries to split it evenly, even if one machine can handle more.
Basically, yes. It doesn't inherently optimize for heterogeneous clusters like that based just on the host list order.
So how do you solve that? How do you tell it, hey, put more work on the big guy?
They found a way using something called a rank file. You can think of it as explicitly mapping parts of the job or ranks to specific machines. So you could use the rank file to bind rank 0, sort of the main process, to the host name of your big 512 GB machine like AMS5 or whatever.
Okay, so manually assigning the bigger load to the bigger machine using this rank file.
Exactly. It allows for manual allocation, ensuring the machine with more memory gets more of the model layers.
Sounds really involved. It would work well.
They did manage to get an 8-bit version of a huge model running across two 512 GB M3 Ultras. It's a terabyte of combined memory. And got about 12 tokens per second. So it's possible.
But the takeaway?
The overall conclusion for MLX distributed, at least in its current state, seems to be stick to identical machines if you can. It makes life much simpler and the results more predictable.
Got it. MLX, powerful for memory pooling, potential speed benefits from optimization, but setup complexity and best with uniform hardware. Okay, let's switch gears to the other method mentioned. XO clustering. What's the story there?
So XO is another approach to clustering max. Its main pitch seems to be simplicity and the ability to run larger models by combining resources, maybe not always prioritizing raw speed.
Simplicity is always attractive. How simple was the setup in practice?
Well, initially it looked pretty promising. You basically clone the software repository, run a simple pip install dot command for dependencies, and apparently it even seemed to automatically create a user interface.
A UI. Nice. That suggests ease of use. How did the initial tests go?
They started on a single machine, tried smaller models like Llama 3.1AB, Mistral Large, noticed it automatically downloaded the models, which is handy.
Convenient.
But when they tried running Mistral Large, which is about 64 gigs, on a machine that also had 64 gigs of RAM, they hit really high memory pressure and it just didn't produce any output.
Okay, so maybe it needs a little more headroom than the model size itself, or perhaps some optimization needed.
Could be. Even with unified memory, maybe it wasn't quite efficient enough there, or needed slightly more RAM buffer.
Okay, so single machine hiccup. What about the main idea of XO automatically finding and using other Macs on the network?
That's the core concept. They tried adding two MacBook Airs, which have less RAM, alongside the 64 GB MacBook Pro.
Did it work? Did XO see them?
Yes. Encouragingly, it did detect all three machines as available nodes, so the automatic discovery part seemed to function.
Good start. Then what?
They gave it a task. Write Tetris in JavaScript, running across the three machines. But the result was slower. Around 33 tokens per second, which was less than the single machine could do.
Slower again. Deja vu.
Yeah. And crucially, it also started downloading the model onto the MacBook Airs.
Ah, and that caused problems.
Big problems. Storage. The MacBook Airs just ran out of space trying to download that 64 GB Mistral Large model.
Ouch.
This highlighted a major limitation they found with XO. It seems to need the entire model stored locally on every single participating machine. It doesn't appear to share the model data across the network or just load parts of it.
So massive storage duplication required, that could be a huge issue.
Absolutely. And they also mentioned it was surprisingly hard to even figure out where XO was saving these big model files.
Not ideal. Okay, so storage issues aside, what happened when they manually got the files onto all machines? Did Mistral Large run then?
They manually copied the 64 GB model everywhere. But even then, trying to run it, still no output. And one of the nodes actually dropped out of the cluster during the attempt.
Stability issues too then. What about other models?
They tried Llama 3.170OB across two nodes. It worked, but it was very slow, like 3.4 tokens per second.
Whoa, how does that compare to a single machine?
Significantly slower. The single MacBook Pro could run that same model at around 8 or 9 tokens per second.
Okay, so XO. The promise of simplicity and automatic clustering is there, but the reality seems to be significant network slowdowns, reliability concerns, and this major storage duplication requirement.
Pretty much. The concept is appealing, especially for enabling truly huge models, but these tests showed some pretty serious practical roadblocks with its current implementation.
Right. Okay, so we've gone through MLX distributed and XO in detail. Let's synthesize this for our listener. They want quick, thorough knowledge. What are the absolute key takeaways, the main trade-offs when thinking about clustering Macs for LLMs?
Okay, boiling it down. Option one, is a single high-memory Mac Studio, like that 512 GB M3 Ultra.
Pros and cons?
Pro. Simplicity, all the memory is local, fast, great performance for models that fit. Con, high upfront cost, higher power draw for that single machine.
Okay. Option two, clustering lower memory Macs using MLX or EXO.
Pro, potential for much more total memory, letting you run those absolutely enormous models that won't fit on one machine, potentially lower power consumption per machine, maybe even total for the cluster, depending on the setup, like we saw with MLX.
Cons.
Cons. Much more setup complexity, especially MLX. Communication overhead that can actually slow down performance, particularly for smaller models. Right. Higher total power use across multiple machines is possible. And with EXO specifically, that huge storage duplication requirement is a major hurdle, plus the observed reliability issues and slowdowns.
And how does this Mac clustering compare, maybe briefly, to just building a rig with multiple NVIDIA GPUs?
Well, the initial hardware cost for multiple lower-end NVIDIA cards might be less than several Mac Studios, though high-end GPUs are very expensive too. But the setup complexity for a multi-GPU rig can be high, managing drivers, power supplies, cooling, and the ongoing power costs for GPUs are typically much higher than Apple Silicon. Plus, you're generally tied to CDA programming versus Apple's frameworks like MLX.
So, different sets of complexities and costs. Given all that, when does Mac clustering really make sense right now, based on these findings?
It seems like clustering is mainly justifiable today for those absolute bleeding-edge, gigantic models. The ones that physically cannot fit in the 512 gigs of even the top Mac Studio.
For anything smaller.
For moderately large models, say in that 30 billion to 70 billion parameter range, often you can run those quite well on a single 128 GB Mac Studio, especially using techniques like quantization to shrink the model size. In those cases, the simplicity and performance of a single Mac likely wins out.
Yeah, that makes sense. It was telling that the EXO experiment needed like 6 machines total to get comfortably into the green zone for memory on the very biggest models. Shows the scale needed.
Exactly. It highlights the extreme demands at that high end.
So for you listening, it really comes down to your specific needs, right? Are you aiming to run models so huge they literally won't fit on the biggest single Mac available?
If yes, then clustering, with all its current caveats, MLX, with identical machines seeming the more robust option right now, might be something you have to explore.
But if your targets are those still large but not universe-sized models,
then investing in a single Mac with sufficient unified memory, 128 GB or potentially more, is probably the more practical, efficient, and less headache-inducing pass for now.
Which brings us to a final thought, something for you to mull over.
Yeah, think about this. Hardware keeps improving. Maybe we'll see Macs with even more unified memory soon. And software frameworks like MLX distributed are constantly being developed.
Right. So how might this whole landscape of running massive AI models locally change in, say, the next year or two?
What new possibilities could open up, especially for individuals, researchers, smaller teams, if running these huge models becomes easier or cheaper?
And maybe ask yourself, are the current challenges and complexities of clustering worth it for you right now just to be able to experiment with these absolute cutting edge behemoth language models?
It's a personal calculation. And if you are interested, definitely check out the resources linked in the description about MLX distributed in EXO. You can see the setup details and maybe track their progress.
Absolutely. Hopefully this deep dive has given you a clearer, more practical understanding of where Mac Studio clustering for LLM stands today and what it really means.